sand, maybe. Might want to call it part two or just a different part of it. I don't know. We're looking at being spirit-filled. We're looking at the necessity of a spirit-filled life. And we must have it. We must have a spirit-filled life. And as we pray tonight, I ask it, maybe ask God just to let you open your ears and your heart that you might receive the Word of God right. You know, a lot of times we'll hear. I don't have no problem with nobody hearing me, but it ain't me that you need to hear. It's the Lord that you need to listen to. And that's the main thing. So let's pray together. Father, I come. Again, Lord, I come. I'm no good, but you're everything. I'm a wretch, but you're wonderful. Father, I pray tonight again that you might cleanse me, remove anything hurtful, anything that's not in your will, anything that's not your way in my life. Lord, remove it and help me to be what I'm to be just now. I cannot do it in my own strength. Lord, I know that. I cannot. I need you tonight, regardless of how much I know, regardless of the scripture, regardless of anything, a past experience. Lord, I can't do it. I must have you tonight. And Lord, may everyone here this evening understand the same, that they can't. It's got to be with you. But with you, yes, it's possible. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in us and for us and through us. Now, God, please touch me fresh of thy power, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Again, tonight, I want you to understand that even though we are we have a fleshly body. We're physical. That we are not supposed to have a secular life. We're supposed to have a spiritual life that controls us, even when we're in secular activity. When I'm in the world, dealing with the world, working a job, dealing with the public, buying groceries, gas, whatever the case may be, that's life. But I am to be spiritual. If I'm saved, then I'm a spiritual, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, and there's a way I'm supposed to be. There's a way I'm to conduct myself. And so often we are selfish. Well, we don't set out to be selfish, but it's in what we can get out of it, and that's not what the spirit-filled life is about. Not what we get out of it, but what the Lord gets out of us. And we need a spiritual walk with God. As I mentioned this morning, it's not just for us adults. I see these young men here on the front row, these mighty men. And when I look at them, and I mentioned to them last Sunday about them seeking the Lord to be spirit-filled, to let the Lord lead them in every way. And we as parents ought to take time with our children and speak to them about being filled with the Spirit of God. It's not just for some old-timer that's about dead that can shout a little bit. That ain't got nothing to do with it. All right? It's being fully directed by the Holy Ghost of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, as how did I tell you this morning? Instead of a bucket being filled with water, as we've heard used in analogy and illustration, that bucket might be full, be no dirt in it, but if you leave it sit there and it'll turn green on you, it'll be stagnant. And a lot of us tonight, we come to church, we read our Bibles, we pray, we're doing the best we can. I understand that, but can I tell you, we still sometimes find ourselves getting stagnant because the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time deal. It's not something that I pray for and get up and speak in a tongue because we all speak English here and there's no need and tongues have ceased and we're not going no further with that. But nevertheless, it's not an experience, but it's a way of life. It's a constant way of life, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. That's why the Bible speaks the way it does. Everybody understand? But sometimes we attribute things to a one-time event, but that's not the way it is tonight. It's a continual thing, and it's the only thing that has nothing to do with your salvation, but it's the only ministry part of the Spirit that you can lose and have to regain. Is the fullness of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Because we have problems. Everybody understand what I'm saying? we have problems. So let's look here at the scripture just for a moment, and then we'll see if we can't find some help here. Ephesians chapter 5, let's look and start at verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now, we'll stop right there. We're not going to get on the home at this time anyway, but we do need Spirit-filled homes. We need Spirit-filled people. To have a Spirit-filled church, we're going to have Spirit-filled Christians. And then after we have Spirit-filled Christians, we can have a Spirit-filled home. And then we have a Spirit-filled home, we have a Spirit-filled church. And then when we get a Spirit-filled church, then we'll be more productive for the Lord, and there'll be fruit of it, and there'll be souls come to Christ, and then we can eventually have a Spirit-filled community. Wouldn't that be good if we had a Spirit-filled community to live in? But it's got to start in our heart. And again, tonight, nothing changes. This message is the same one that Paul's been preaching, that he started preaching a long time ago, a couple thousand years ago, and it's still the message today. Everybody understand that? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, when we think about this being filled with the Spirit, let's again look at the meaning here. Now, listen carefully. It's a conscious, constant, complete surrender to God's will and dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life. I cannot do anything by myself. Neither can you. We cannot live like we're supposed to live without the Lord in our heart, without the power of the Holy Spirit. I have abilities, I have knowledge, I've read books, I've done this, I've done that, but unless the Lord helps me, I can't do it. I've got to have the Lord. So do you. Now, what you need to understand, that when we talk about being filled, it's not a suggestion, but it's in a command. The way that it's stated, it's in a command. And be filled, it's commanded to be continually filled. It's not just a one-time thing. And as I preached this morning, I tell us again tonight, somewhere, we've got to decide to be Christian. We've got to decide to be whole Christian, not part Christian. We got to decide to be 7 day a week, 365 day a year Christian, 24 hour a day Christian, huh? Minute Christian. We're supposed to be Christian all the time. That's what we are. If you're saved, if you're not saved, then you need to be born again tonight. You need saved. You need to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are guilty of sin unto God, and that penalty is death, and the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But if you are saved tonight, then you are obligated, in a sense, you're obligated to be what He saves us to be. Is that okay with everybody? We act like, well, I don't want to. It ain't your choice. It ain't a choice. If you're not, then you're going to pay for it. There's a price to pay for not walking the way God wants you to walk. There's a price to pay. Listen, for us, hell is not my penalty. Huh? But I don't know that I want to go through the chastening hand of God in direction to be filled with the Spirit instead of that bucket of water that I was talking about being stagnant. I need to be that sailboat that the sails are full, that I can't see that power, but it's moving me in the direction that I need to move in, filling me. And though the sails be tattered, they'll still hold some air. You understand? They'll still move you. But what we want to do, if we got a problem, we mend the sail. Everybody understand that? But we need to be moved, not by my power. I used the illustration this morning, and I used it again tonight. It's not me and my motorboat. Me cranking on it, getting it started, me putting the gas in it, me running it. No. No, it's the sailboat that unless the wind blows, it ain't going to move. Unless the wind blows and directs, it ain't gonna do anything. We need God's wind, God's Holy Spirit to guide us and to move us in everyday life. In everyday life. I don't care whether we're painting a bedroom or planting garden or fixing the plumbing or working in public where it don't matter. My life is supposed to be the Lord's if I'm saved and I'm to be spirit filled. Now, when I think about why should I be spirit-filled, we see spirit-filled or living a spirit-filled life is a conscious, constant, complete surrender to God's will and dependence upon the Spirit power to live the Christian life. But why? Why should we do it? Why should we be filled? Well, it's for the purpose of producing fruit of souls. It's for the purpose of producing the fruit of souls. Do you understand that? Souls. People coming to Christ, souls. That's more important than your 401k and your retirement. That's more important than your Social Security check. That's more important than the money you got buried. That's more important than anything else. For that's why Christ came. For the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. Are we okay with that? Amen. Well, think about that. And I need to be have a spirit-filled life that I can use that, if you would, or be used of God to win souls. That's one of the things for producing the fruit of souls. Acts 1:8 will tell us. Let's go back here just for a second and look in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." When the Holy Spirit come upon me, when I'm filled, if you would, when I'm submitted to the Lord, I'm going to be a witness. That's what the fruit of it is, yeah. To be a witness. Everybody understand that? You're to be. And can I tell you, you're a witness one way or the other. You're either a good one or a bad one. You're either leading people to or pushing people away. One or the other. You think about that. All right, and then not only that, but the fruit of an empowered ministry. This church is not going to function without being spirit filled. It ain't going to do it. Now we may still have church, and we're going to dwindle and dwindle until we get in, and we are overcome by tradition and dead. And non-productive. I don't want to be a part of that. Huh? Look in Acts chapter 4. Verse 31. It says, "And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began, and they spake the word of God with boldness." The word of God come out bold. Not tongues, not miracles, not healings, not getting slapped in the mouth or laying around jumping on the floor, but the word of God become bolder. Huh? Because the word of God is what moves, what draws. For faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that's how the faith is increased, by the word of God, by the boldness. That's why these people in the book of Acts, that's why they come to Christ. They seen the boldness as these men were filled with the Spirit of God. And they saw the boldness and the greatness, and they heard the word of God. And they were changed, and the churches were set afar. As they would start, they burnt with joy. Huh? Just like we saw the new church there in Kenya. They were excited. They saw people saved. They were excited. The word of God was preached. Huh? They've been fasting, they've been praying, they've been working, they've been building. Huh? They've been submitting They've been dedicating themselves unto God, and they've seen the result. We look on, not only being filled for the purpose of producing fruit of souls or the fruit of our ministry empowered. How about the fruit of victory, as we mentioned this morning, over the temptation of sin? Everybody in here is still tempted with sin. That's life. That's life. But look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul said this to the churches. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We won't give in to temptation. A Spirit-filled life gives us this power over the sin that comes through. Listen, I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I'm saved from the power of sin. And I'm soon to be saved from the presence of sin. But that power of sin in everyday living, we're tempted in ways. And can I warn you, revival's coming, and you're going to be tempted in ways in the next couple weeks like you've not been tempted in a long time, maybe not ever. Because the enemy's going to try to distract you, try to destroy you, try to discourage you, try to tell you that you're not noticed, that you don't have to be there, that you can't add nothing, that nobody cares if you miss or not. Them are all lies of the devil. We do care. You may not be talked to every service. You may not have your hand shook 97 times every time. But can I tell you, you're important to the house of God. Not because you're part of us, but because you're part of Him. And that makes you important to the house of God. It don't matter if nobody likes you. You're important in the house of God. But there are people here that love you. And there are people here that pray for you. And there are people here that are discouraged when you're not here. And there are people that does better just to see your face, whether it's a smile or a frown. I mean, some of you's face brings a smile to anybody, but you think about it. What I'm telling you is we're important to God. And we need to walk in the Spirit. Are you understanding that tonight? And the temptations that we're going to face, I've got to have the Lord to overcome them. I can't. I've got to have the Lord. I know, and not just on, listen, Sunday, it ain't enough. Sunday ain't enough. I do good to do halfway right between morning and evening service on Sunday. I don't know about y'all, I'm just telling you me. And you say, "You're just saying that." Well, no, I'm just glad my mind ain't put on the screen. Huh? I mean, I got battles. I got battles that you'll never face. I got things in my mind you'll never, ever understand. Huh? But they're temptations to me. There's things in your life that I don't understand. There's things that you may be tempted of, that you have a trouble with, maybe an addiction of some sort. I don't have that. Huh? But that don't mean I'm scot-free. I've got my own. But I can't do it without the Lord. Can I tell you, you can't either. Young men, y'all don't know yet what up and down is. I mean, y'all don't even have a clue. All right? You know that when it's time to eat, your family will have food. When it's time to go to bed, they'll tell you. When it's time to get up, they get you up. You have no responsibility. You might have some chores, but you have no responsibility. Huh? Nobody, your parents don't charge your rent. They don't charge your food bill. They don't charge you for your clothes. They don't charge you for your shoes. They don't charge you. You live there free. You have absolutely nothing. So you don't understand. But yet you're tempted. Right. Yes. You young men have temptation just like everybody else. You're no different. You're tempted to lie. You're tempted to do what you're not supposed to do. Huh? The older you get, the more temptations come. And then you become one of us. Then you become a wretch. Yeah. And then we're tempted in a bigger scale. But nobody's without it. You understand? We all know that, don't we? We've got to have the Spirit of God. I've got to have it. And I desired, but I've wondered, do I desire it enough? Desire it enough. And then not only we're talking about the fruit, how about to exercise the fruit of the Spirit? Now I know I'm nice, it just oozes out of me. I know that. But look in Galatians chapter 5. I know y'all ain't as nice as me. I know that. Now you see, I can't do it. When we look at this fruit of the Spirit, you'll see Mark can't do it. And neither can you. Let's look here at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, we don't want to preach the love messages over again, do we? We already know we have trouble there. Joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, that's a hard one. Peace ain't bad. Joy ain't bad. Love is a little on the rough side. Long-suffering's tough. Gentleness, that's tough. Huh? I'm not the most gentle guy. I'm not. I'm trying. I'm not saying I do. I struggle with it. I struggle with being gentle. Y'all have them babies. And y'all bringing babies around. I know some of you might want me to hold them. I'm scared to death to hold them. I'm afraid I'll break them. I'm like a donkey in a tin barn. I have no, and then I'm not gentle in speech, and it ain't that I don't care. It ain't that I don't love you, but I have problems being gentle. Huh? Seen a sign one time, if I was a psychiatrist, I would be, my name would be Doctor, You Are Nuts. You know? That's what I seen. I seen somebody laying on a bed, and they was getting in. It was a doctor, and it said on there, "Doctor, you are nuts." And that would be me. I would look at you and say, "You are nuts." That's how gentle I am. You understand? I mean, I try. I can't even come close to being gentle without the Holy Spirit. You understand that? If there's any meekness that goes on, it says long suffering, gentleness. I'm not very gentle. Huh? Goodness? Well, that ain't too bad. I don't have no problem being good to you. Faith, meekness, temperance, you know, self-control. I don't know about y'all, but I have trouble self-control. Huh? Y'all have trouble self-control? If nothing else, there's a little member in my face behind that in my ivory bars and that moat between my gums and them lips that's supposed to be locked. I have a lot of problem with temperance with my mouth. I know y'all don't. I'm just telling you, I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, this is why we need filled with the Spirit, so we can live the Christian life. If you don't have no desire at all, there's nothing there. I don't know how you would do it. Huh? Well, can I tell you, you can't. You can't do it. You got to have the Lord. Well, are we still okay? Now, when we think about this being filled, and when we think about the ministry, if you would, in ourselves, Christ in us, hope of glory, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, He said, "I will guide you in all truth." He lives inside of us, right? But then there's things that causes us not to be filled. All right? There's things that causes us not to be filled. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And now look at verse 19. We know the scripture. You know, these are them little add-ons at the end of the 1 Thessalonians. And we really don't read them real... If you do, we read them real quick. You know? But say in verse 19, quench not the spirit. Do you know that many, many times we're probably all guilty, sometimes maybe even the same service, of quenching the Spirit of God. Do you know that? Because when we think about quenching the Spirit of God, it's a sin of not doing what the Holy Spirit would have us do. Well, that's what happens when we quench the Spirit. We're not doing what the Holy Spirit would have us do. And we quench the Spirit. And we can tell that when we quench the Spirit that our feeling ain't where it ought to be. Okay? And then we think about, look back at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." Can I tell you, we see the quenching of the Spirit in the sin of not doing what the Holy Spirit would have us do, and then the grieving of the Holy Spirit. This is a sin of doing what the Holy Spirit, it's a sin of us doing what the Holy Spirit don't want us to do. Do you understand the difference? See, there's a lot of times we grieve the Spirit of God, even in church, because we do what we want to do instead of what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. When we go our own way, do our own thing, our own will, our own want, our own desire, well, it ain't to be like that. Everybody still with me this evening? Now, when we think about this Spirit-filled life, now, young people, this is for you. Young ladies, this is for you. If you're a Christian, how many's a Christian tonight? Hold your hand up. If you're a Christian, you're born again Christian, then this is for you. This is for you. All right? You are to be Spirit-filled. You say, "Well, I don't want to be." Well, tell God. "God, I don't want you directing my life," and see how that goes. Let me tell you, where you're going to end up is not going to be a good place. You're going to be in a bind. Huh? If I was to ask, has anybody here ever done that? Well, there are going to be a lot of us have to raise your hand and say, yeah, I've told God I'll go my way, you go yours. Huh? Where did we end up? Where'd you end up at? Kind of mess. What kind of train wreck was it? Huh? What kind of train wreck was it in your life when you told God, "No, I don't want you leading me"? You still okay? Let me tell you now, what's going to take? Well, our meaning, if we go back to being filled, no, we're just going to give you part of it tonight. But our meaning tonight goes back to conscious, constant, complete surrender. You remember that? Well, how do we do that? Well, to start with, it's going to take confession of sin. Confession of all known sin in our life. You got anything in your life needs to be confessed? The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Huh? How much time of a day do you spend confessing your sin? Or do you say this, "Lord, forgive me of my sin"? He didn't say confess that you sinned. We still okay? He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You ever take time to, when the day's done, and the Holy Spirit, you get down and talk to Him, the Holy Spirit reveals where you've come up short, and He's guiding you, and He's not beating you, He's not chastising you, He's directing you, and He's helping you, and He shows you where you've erred. Do you confess your sins? You confess your temper tantrums and your shortness with your spouse, or your shortness with your children, or your shortness with the people you work with. With the filthy communication that may have slipped out of your mouth or things that happen. Because if you get down to pray of evening after the day's done, if you get down to pray of evening and you're saved and you're wanting to live right, then the Lord will tell you where you messed up. Because He told you when you done it. He told you before you done it. He told you why you was doing it. And He'll remind you of it that evening. At least He does me. Huh? But then, we ought to turn loose of some things. You know what I have problems with? I don't know if anybody else has problems with. Sometimes I don't want to confess my sin. And the reason being is I just did a while ago. And it's the same sin again. Now, y'all probably don't have that problem, but I find myself as a repeat offender. Anybody else?
Yeah.
I find myself as a repeat offender through the course of the day and days in a row. Now, y'all probably might want to farm me tonight. That's how wicked I am. And I get ashamed after I keep confessing and confessing because I'm not following up. Because there's another deal with this full surrender of constant, of conscious, constant, complete surrender. It's not only confession of sin, but it's the forsaking of sin. Turn to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28:13 will explain it right easy. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. We know that. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Whoso confesseth, and what's that next word? Forsaketh them. I believe tonight, when we talk about serving the Lord and talking about being filled with the Spirit and having that Spirit-filled life directing us, we need to confess, but we need to forsake. We need to quit it. We need to stop it. You know? Okay? Because see who I'm not trying to please me or you. I'm trying to please Him. But it ain't just pleasing Him. It ain't in fear of pleasing Him. I want to be used of Him. I want Him to get glory, but that's for my purpose. My purpose. All of us has worked public works. All right? We've had a job in the public. How aggravating is it when somebody is hard in to do a job and they don't do their job? How aggravating is that? Does that bother anybody? Huh? I mean, that's what they was hired for. Well, the Lord saves us and puts us, gives us this ability and power to do it. And then I wonder how He feels. I wonder if He just shakes His head and says, wow, man, they just don't get it, do they? I wonder sometimes when He looks at me, if He says, why did I waste my blood on that one? Huh? That's just how I feel. We still okay? When I think about total surrender, I think about confession of known sin and forsaking of all known sin. But then there's three simple things here in Romans 12, and we know this. I'm trying to help us tonight to be Christian. Not to be an American Christian, to be a Bible Christian. Throw your American Christianity in the trash. Burn it. It ain't no good. It ain't no good. We need to be Bible Christians. Not what we've been taught in tradition. Not what we've been taught in these mountain churches all over the place. We need to see what the Bible says. Huh? Be obedient to the Bible. Amen, Preacher Mark. Look in Romans chapter 12. And let's see three things here. First thing I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to be willing to present myself. To present myself to the Lord. I need to confess my sin, forsake it, and present myself to the Lord. Here am I. Hear me. Chapter 12, Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There needs to be a presentation of ourselves. Everybody understand that? But then I look at verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world. Somewhere there's going to have to be some separation. Can't tell, we're living in a day that there's no separation in the house of God. Just in case you didn't notice, I reckon you noticed all the modesty of the people on the movie there a while ago. Did you notice all the modesty? Well, wait a minute, them people in Kenya, they don't have no education. They live in dirt floors and their toilets are just a building with a hole dug in the ground and they squat over a hole in the ground. No running water. Animals in the yard. They don't have no couches. You seen their church pews, them old plastic chairs that bend when you... The most uncomfortable chair it ever was. But they had enough sense to be modest. Well, where'd that come from? Well, same place it used to be around here. We got stagnant in the bucket. Got stagnant in the bucket. We're talking about surrender. I give up. I give in. I give over. I hand you my sword. No more fighting. You know, that's what surrender is. Here's my sword. I will fight no more. What was it Chief Joseph said when they finally came? I will fight no more forever. Maybe that's when we surrender to God. We say, I will fight no more forever. And we just go ahead and let him lead us. Huh? Separation. Presentation. Separation. Be not conformed to this world. And then we see something else. We see a transformation. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's surrender. Transforming ourselves. Presenting ourselves. Separating ourselves. Transforming ourselves. We're talking about being filled with the Spirit. Everybody understand me tonight? I'm not growling at us. I'm just telling us we want to see revival. Listen, I don't want to see a week's meeting. I want to see revival every Sunday, every Monday, every Wednesday, every time we have a youth rally, every time we have a service, when we have Sundays. I want to see a revival to where we're moved to God, moved closer to God. Huh? Where when people come in the church house, they're moved closer to God. That if they're not saved, they understand that they're lost. Because they're around spiritual-led Christians. And they understand the difference. They understand they're not the same. They understand something's missing. And they cry out when they understand their sin. What must I do to be saved? But we as Christians need to be spirit-filled. And then our meeting goes on. We're going to quit here. It says, a conscious, constant, complete surrender to God's will. And then it says, and dependence upon the Spirit's power to live this Christian life. I believe the main key to being filled with the Spirit is to recognize our inability. That we got to have it. That we got to have it. Right when you think you can do it, you've done wrecked. Right when I think I can do it myself, I've done wrecked, man. I can't do it. I can't do it. We all right with that? Our weakness, our inability of our flesh. You know, I know how to do things. I know there's things I could preach and push our buttons and we would shout and holler and hoop. Yeah. There are certain things I can preach. If you got anything in you at all, you get excited. If you've got any God in you at all, right? And I go to a lot of places, and that's what's done. I go to a lot of meetings. I went to meetings, conferences, places, camp meetings, where that was what was happening. The buttons was pushed, and they might even preach something contrary to the Word of God, but it was in such a way because of the things added that people just hollered and hooped. But it wasn't the Spirit led. Are you hearing me tonight? Look over Romans chapter 7. Hang with me tonight. I'm trying to be your pastor. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help me. See Romans chapter 7 verse 18. Somewhere we've got to come to this realization. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't do it. I can't do it. I've got to have the Lord. I've got to have the Lord. Does everybody understand that? We've got to have, you've got to have, I've got to have the Lord. Because I ain't able. I'm not able. Huh? If we look over chapter 8. Let's look here at verse 3 and 4. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's what the Lord does. It's what the Lord does in me. I can't. I can't. Huh? I can't do it. I can't do it. If I drop down to verse 8, in chapter 8, it says, so then they that are in the flesh, what's it say? Cannot please God. Cannot please God. We've got to be Spirit-filled. Huh? We've got to be. There needs to be a seeking or a thirsting after God. Romans or John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7. Shirley, you go on the piano. John chapter 7. Let's look here in verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, but this spake he of the Holy Spirit, or of the Spirit. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because in Jesus was not yet glorified. It's talking about the Holy Spirit inside. He comes inside when we get saved, then we need filled to live this Christian life. Are you failing? Let me ask you, are you failing? Do you feel like you fail in places? Talk to me tonight. Yeah? You can't do it yourself. You got to have the Lord. You are going to fail. Look at me. You are going to fail. Because you can't. I'm going to fail. I can't. Oh, but he can. But he can. Are you understanding me tonight? I can't do it without the Lord. I can't do it without the Lord. I've tried. I've tried. I know how, man. I know how. I know how to do it. Trusting entirely on Christ. But here's the bottom line, just like it was this morning. The bottom line is this. What do you desire? Do you desire to be Spirit-filled and to live for the Lord consciously, constantly, completely surrendered to the will of God? Do you desire that? If you don't desire, all the preaching, all the methods, all the ways, ain't going to matter what anybody says if you don't desire it. you don't desire to live for Jesus. I listened to a song. I thought of the song. Been a month and a half ago, I had Gwen sing. I texted her late on Saturday night. I said, do you know this song? And she sang this song. I think I found out later that Linda used to sing it years ago. It is my desire to live for Jesus. It is my desire to live for Him. Is that our desire? Is it our desire to be religious? Or is it our desire to live for Him? Not live for us, but live for Him. Not live for others, but to live for Him. Is it our desire? If it's not our desire, then we'll probably never live a Spirit-filled life. We ain't going to find it. It ain't going to be there, because the bottom line of all this, can I tell you, the bottom line of being a Christian is whether or not we desire to come to Christ or not. Because He won't save no one over top of their will. If you're lost tonight and don't know Jesus Christ, you're a sinner. And the reason you do bad things, that don't make you a sinner, but you do bad things because you are a sinner. And you need born again. You need Jesus Christ. And Christ paid a penalty for you. He paid the penalty. And though you may not understand, your sins, unforgiven, lead you to hell. But Christ paid that penalty. And if you'll accept that payment, place your faith in Christ, He'll save you. I mean, that is a fact. That is a fact. But He won't do it against your will. And then He saves us. We come to Him in faith. He saves us. But then again, He gives us a will. And He says, I'm not going to make you. You're going to wish you had followed me. And I want you to follow me. And I have greatness for you if you will follow me. But you must want it. You must want it. See, that's why when Jesus walked on the earth and He walked by the people and He said, come follow me. And when they looked at Him, He said, now understand, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man don't have nowhere to lay His head. You come follow me. That's not going to be easy. He said, no, it's not going to be easy. Unless you hate your father and mother and everybody else, it says. Unless you love me above them is what it means. It don't mean go around hating nobody, but unless you love me above everybody else, then you're not really going to follow me. Huh? Pick up your cross daily and follow me. That cross was not your burden, your bad back, or your bad eyes, or your sugar diabetes, or your bad heart. No, that cross was, you're going to put that cross on your back and say, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to die for you. I'm going to pick up my cross and follow you. And if it means to death, because that was a time, in that time, when you said you was a Christian, then you could be killed at any moment. And He said, pick up your cross and follow me. Now, He didn't make nobody. He didn't make nobody. But people had to desire that. You know what we desire tonight? We don't want to go to hell. And we want to see mom and dad. Yeah. That's not everyone. But I'm telling you, the mental thoughts is I don't want to go to hell. And I want to see my loved ones that's gone on because I miss them. And Christ ain't got nothing in it. The Spirit-filled life ain't got nothing in it. I'm going to ask you tonight, what do you desire? We're coming up to revival. I don't know what Doug will preach. I don't ask him. I don't talk to him. I send him a text, but we don't discuss church things. Huh? But it'd be a shame for him to come here and preach his guts out, and we already decided we don't want nothing. Huh? It'd be a shame for him to come preach his guts out, and then we already decided that we're not going to try to do any better anyway. But we will hear some good preachers. We holler amen, go home, and say, well, we had revival. Doug crazy, man. And we will say that. Be good preaching and Doug is crazy. Them are all true statements. You understand? I'm not trying to beat you tonight. I'm wanting to encourage you. Listen, the Lord wants us as close to Him, living for Him. That's what this Christian life is. Oh, if we could just get a handle on it. But you got to want it. Father, I come tonight. Speak to our hearts as only You can. Lord, what You do with the message, Lord, is up to You, Lord. I can't do nothing with it. Lord, I try to be obedient. Lord, where I failed You, I ask You to take it out of their minds. Where I was on my own, take it away from their memory. And God, for everything that You want, may You speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.